Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
Great to see you tonight. My name is Matt. You probably all know that by now. I learned a lot about myself in that quiz. I found out I have a kid. There you go. I didn't know that. Peter Peters. What a great name. So last week, I was at the movie Saturday night. I was sitting there, had my Choc Top ready to go, had my Coke. And the first thing that came up on the screen was a ad. Don't you hate it now that you go to the movies and there's TV ads? And the first ad that came up was for a CMAX clinical trial. This was a research trial that they were looking for participants, and you could get paid $700 to $7,000. All you had to do is be involved, have some visits, maybe do some blood tests or take some medication, be part of this research trial. And this reminded me of when I was 7 years old and I actually participated in one myself. I don't know what mum was thinking letting a seven-year-old do this, but I just remember one thing clearly about this is all I had to do was give up 2 hours of my time. And I was paid $100. How good is that? Think back to when you were seven. How much would $100 have bought you? For me, it was a ton of Pokemon cards, footy cards, lollies. So good. And all I had to do with this test was I had to go to Flinders Uni, and I had to wear this weird helmet with like, this gel on my head. I don't know what they were testing or what they were researching or if there's any side effects, but I was put through a few different tests. You can be the judge of that. And so one test that I was put through is for 10 minutes, I had to stare at a red dot on a screen. Just had to literally stare at a red dot. And that was hard work. Another test that I did that I remember was I had to, for 5 minutes, I had to name how many animals I could. And so I was like, tiger, cat, I'm struggling right now, let alone back when I was seven. And all right, it was actually pretty hard to get through that 2 hours. But in the scheme of things, to give up 2 hours to get $100, just to give a little bit of my time, a little bit of my concentration, I was given so much in return, $100. And that's what I want to speak to you tonight, about the idea that when we're generous, when we give, we actually can be given so much in return. That might sound like a weird concept right now, but I'm going to unpack it tonight. And we can all agree that money, stuff, that's a big part of our lives. And if I was to ask Lachlan right now, Lachlan, would you like some stuff? If I could give you some money right now, would you like it? Heck yeah, he's going to respond straight away. Of course he is. But if I say, hey Lachlan, can you just borrow me $10,000? Is that all good? Nah, exactly. His response might be a little bit different. This idea around sharing and giving, sometimes our response, $10,000 is a bit extreme, but the idea of sharing and giving sometimes isn't the same. And I want to speak to you tonight that I believe being generous, giving more than what is expected, willing to share, is actually part of how we get to experience life and life to the full. And as I speak about sharing and being generous, it might bring up different questions in your head. It might be, Matt, what are you talking about? If I share, if I give my stuff, won't I have less stuff and won't I just be less happy? Or it might be the fact that, what about me? I don't have a job. I don't have much money. What do I even have to give or to be generous with? Or it might be, Is actually having money actually a bad thing? Is having stuff a bad thing? And whether you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, whether you're still trying to work out your faith, or you don't believe that there's a God at all, I believe this idea of being generous in our lives is actually part of a way that we can actually live our best life. And I really want to, I believe that there's something in that for you tonight. So for those of us as followers of Jesus, it makes sense to look at what Jesus said in the Bible. Ooh, sneak preview. But in the Bible, there is actually 2,350 verses, I didn't make up that stat, dealing with money and possessions. And then also Jesus. The things that are recorded of what Jesus said in the Bible, 15% of that is around possessions and money. Why did Jesus speak so much about money and possessions? I believe it's because our faith and our stuff, our money, our finances, they're not separate, but they're actually intertwined. And what we buy, what we share our money, what we give actually shows what we put value on, what we see as important. So I want you to turn to the person next to you, give them a high five and say, generosity gives. Alrighty, great work. I believe that when we're actually generous, we're actually given so much in return. that we actually receive when we give. And first of all, generosity gives joy. So we'll see that slide on the screen and it says, generosity gives joy. Does anyone know what movie that this is from? Inside Out. Who's seen Inside Out? Yeah, good movie. But before we look at anything the Bible says, that science actually backs up that being generous is actually good for your life and actually brings joy. Scientists have studied this idea of generous people and the act of being generous, being willing to share more than it's expected. And actually releases a chemical in our brain called endorphins, the response to actually feeling pleasure, feeling good when we give. And then other studies have shown that it's actually good for our health. It actually lowers blood pressure. You probably don't care too much about that, but it lessens depression and you actually get to live longer. Who doesn't want to live longer? There's also been a study, cheers, Jordy. There's been a study in Zurich in Switzerland. Actually, I don't know if Zurich's in Switzerland. Is Zurich in Switzerland? Anyone know? Yeah, cheers, good. And that study found that there was two groups of participants. There was half of the group were given $100 to spend on themselves. Half were given $100 to spend on someone else. And they tested them, and I don't know how they did this, but the results were so heavily in favor of those that actually got to spend that on someone else. They actually experienced more joy than the people that spent it on themselves. And don't get me wrong, getting stuff is good. Like, I love getting stuff. Like, I'm the king of receiving. Love my birthday, love Christmas growing up. There was a rule in my house growing up that I wasn't allowed to speak about what I wanted for my birthday until a month before. So my birthday is in September 23rd. I had to wait to August 1st before I could submit my list of things that I wanted. And every year, without doubt, August 1st, boom, there was my list. That was the stuff that I wanted. Even Christmas, I remember not being able to sleep every Christmas Eve because I wanted to see what Santa would bring me. And one year, I stayed up and I decided to come out and I'll see what Santa had brought me. And then I saw my family putting out my presents. What was going on? The idea of Santa was ruined, and I hope that's no spoilers for you tonight. If not, you're in year eight. Surely someone's told you. But I'm learning more and more in my life that there's this fact of the giving something, sharing with others, there's actually joy in that as well. And in your small groups, I asked you to think about the best present that you've given someone else and how that actually felt. And I know it was for myself, so it might have been for you guys as well. There's actually a fair bit of joy when you think of that great present and you're generous to someone and actually see the look on their face when they open it up. If you think right now, think in your head, think of one person in your life that's a very generous person. They're always sharing. They're always willing to help you out. Could be a mum, could be a friend, could be the person sitting right next to you. And if you think about them right now, it's so often, when I think about it in my head, that these people, these generous people, if you ask them, how do they feel when they give? They actually do it because of the joy that they receive. They believe that there is so much joy in giving and being generous. And I don't believe that we're only just giving joy to those that receive the gift and those that give. But we're actually given something else. We're actually given, in a second, generosity also gives. I'm going to put up a photo. Hey. Generosity gives. Can anyone guess what this is? Brave. Someone said brave heart. We don't get a brave heart. Does anyone know the cry in this movie? Classic movie. You need to be over 15 to watch it, but freedom, freedom. That's it. They may take our lands, but they never take our freedom. One of the most, that's the worst accent ever, but that was terrible. I don't know what that was. So, yeah, that was not Scottish in the world. But there's one of the most inspiring speeches that you'll ever hear. Tonight, go onto YouTube, look up Braveheart speech, freedom. And it's so inspiring, this idea of freedom. And I'm just going to show you a video on this idea of freedom. We're just going to put your eyes to the screen now. We're just going to show a quick video and a little bit of a warning.
Don't walk in the bubbles.
We gotta let Kermit go so we can find his mommy. This is the.
You gonna put him out in the grass or?
This is the little baby we've been feeding for a week. I don't want to let him go, but everybody else does, so. Where's your mommy? Go get her. Sarah?
Sorry, that might have been a bit harsh, but maybe I've got a bad sense of humour. Sorry, guys. So that was a very short-lived freedom. That poor bunny rabbit, it was being released back into the wild. And then that hawk got it and took it back to the farm. But I want to talk about freedom, freedom that lasts, not something that's just so easily taken away. And firstly, I believe that generosity gives us freedom from greed. Money, don't get me wrong, money and having stuff is not a bad thing. There's actually plenty of people in the Bible that were rich, that had possessions. But what is bad is letting it rule your life, letting it have a hold of you, allowing it to influence the way that you think, the way that you act. It can actually be consuming. Relationships can be broken over greed. Jobs can be ruined. Careers can be ruined. And we have a very materialistic culture. Everything's about stuff. I got to have the latest stuff. And when you get the latest this, then someone else has got something else. So then I need that. Someone's got 5 cars. I need 6 cars. But we often want something that we don't need. And so often we believe that something that is that we need it, but rather it's something that we want. It might be that you might have the iPhone 6S right now. And you're looking at your mate and you're like, he's got the iPhone 10. Like, I want that. I want the iPhone XS. And why is that? Just because it's the latest and greatest. It's got no headphone jack, it's got no home button, and it's got a weird notch at the top. Why do we want it? Spoken like a true Samsung user. But we're so often, we just want the latest and greatest. It doesn't matter what it is, but we have to have that stuff. And there's a story in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 19. And there's a guy called, his name is the rich young ruler. So obviously he was young and he had a lot of stuff. And he knows Jesus is a wise person. So he comes to Jesus and he asks him, how can I follow you? How can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him a couple of things. And then Jesus says to him in conclusion, he says, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. It actually says he went away grieving because he had great wealth. The rich man was told to sell his possessions, all of his possessions. And that's not Jesus telling us that everything we own we're meant to sell and give away, and that there's actually bad having all of that stuff. But rather, for this guy, he had such a high dependence on all the stuff that he had that he was allowing it to rule his life. And it said before that he grieved when Jesus told him to sell his stuff. He actually, it almost felt like he'd lost his father, his brother, his friend, because that's how high he valued his possessions. He valued his possessions higher than anything else. And therefore, he couldn't serve both God and money. But I believe one of the opposite things of greed is to be generous. It's impossible to be filled with greed when we're generous. There's another thing that we get freedom from when we're generous is we actually get freedom from the worry of money. Money in the world can be such a worry. There's so many different things that we can be worried about, and money is one of them. And maybe for you right now, money's not the biggest issue right now, or maybe it is. But I want you to know this fact that God provides everything that we need. And by being generous, we actually get to trust in God. We actually put our trust in Him. We actually get to show our faith in action. It actually grows our relationship with God. Even though by giving, by being generous, sometimes that's giving beyond what actually seems comfortable, that now we actually have less. But rather in that, we get to partner with God, and God actually does provide everything that we need. And it's an opportunity we get to partner with Him in what He's doing in the world. And there's a great story of a guy called George Mueller. So he lived about 100 years ago in England. Yeah, England. And he is famous because of his dependence on God. He believed that God would always provide everything that he needed. Not always what he wanted, but everything that he needed. And he was famous because he looked after 10,000 orphans throughout his lifetime. He housed them, he gave them food, he put them through school. And the crazy fact was, he didn't have an income, he never earned any money, he never asked for money, he never had a drive rattling a tin or anything like that. But rather, he knew in his heart that God would provide everything that he would need. And God came through for him in incredible ways. So one day, George is there in the orphanage, early in the morning, and his friend Barbara, I don't know if her name was Barbara, but her name's Barbara, and she was working at the orphanage, and she comes to George just before breakfast, and she says, "George, I don't know what we're going to do today. We've run out of money. We've run out of food. We've run out of milk. How are we going to feed these 300 orphans that are living in our orphanage?" And George goes, "Nah, I'm having none of that. I'm going to put my trust in God to provide everything that we need." He tells all the children, he says, "Get up. Put your clothes on. We're coming down for breakfast. We're ready to eat." And George sits there with everyone else and he says grace. And he goes, "Dear God, we thank you for the food that we're about to eat, that you're going to provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen." And as he finishes that amen, there's a knock at the door. George jumps to his feet. I'm sure he'd be pretty excited. And he opens the door. And he sees this guy there. And he looks like he has not slept that night before. And this guy starts talking. He goes, hey, how are you going? I don't know what it is, but for some reason I could not sleep last night. And I've decided to bake all of this bread. I don't know if you guys even need it or anything like that, but I'd love to provide you with this bread." And George is thinking maybe it's a loaf or two, but he comes bringing in loaf after loaf after loaf, way more than what's needed to feed 300 orphans. So George thinks, wow, that's incredible. So he gets all the bread, puts it on the table, says goodbye to the baker. And as he walks back to the table, he hears another. He goes, "Wow, what's going on, God? Is the baker come back to take it back? But then he opens the door, and there's another guy there. But this guy is drenched in sweat. He looks like he's been working hard. It's hot outside. And the guy says, in a quick voice, he goes, "Oh, my car's broken down. Can you help me? I don't know what to do." But with that, I've been trying so long to fix my car that I've got a whole truck full of milk. Could you use it? Like, I don't know what this building is, but could you use all this milk? And George is like, "Yep, sure can. 300 orphans." And this is just one of the many stories of how George experienced God coming through for him in his life. And that's because I believe that God has given us all that we need. He provides for us. And therefore, we can be generous by doing this. We are given the ability to be free from greed and the worry of money. Thirdly, generosity gives focus. It doesn't give you cars, but it gives you focus. That is a forward focus. Anyone have a forward focus here? Couple? Yep. So generosity gives us focus. So there's actually a funeral here today at church. And, hey, good work. There's a funeral here at church today. And I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral before, but it's not often in the funeral that they talk about Barry, who passed away. Barry, he had 3 investment properties. He built out an amazing share portfolio, talking about his possessions. They talk about his end bank balance at the end of his life. But that is never the case, unless you've been to different funerals than what I have. But at funerals, so often, if they ever mention money, it's talking about the things that they gave away, that when they were generous. Or rather, it's talking about the relationships that they had in their lives. And therefore, why in our lives sometimes are we so focused? Our whole goal is on getting stuff, getting a job, going through uni, so then we can buy a house, we can buy the car that we've always dreamed of. Why do we always have such a focus on this? And I believe being generous actually gives us a focus on what's important. I believe that you'll never be satisfied with the amount of stuff that you have. There's no magic number that you'll be completely satisfied. If I just reach that $1 million, I'm going to be completely satisfied. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income." It's always, if I only had a little bit more, and then you reach that little bit more. And then I see Mitch, and Mitch has got more than me, so now I need that much. I want you to think of this in your lives. If you can't take it with you, is it that important? It says in the Bible that anyone that chooses to believe in God shall not perish but have eternal life. That this life is not the be-all and end-all. This is not the end, but rather this is a small blip in comparison to our eternity in heaven. And we can waste so much of our lives so focused on the storing up our stuff for this life, but it only lasts a small fraction of our time in comparison to our eternity in heaven, if we choose to believe in him. And it says in 1 Timothy 6:7-8, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Why not then use what we have on earth to be generous, to love God and others, if we can't take this stuff with us? And I'm not saying that we have to be rich to be generous. It doesn't matter how much you have or how much you give. You might be thinking to yourself, I don't have a job, I don't have $10 in my bank account, or maybe you don't even have a bank account. But it does not matter how much that you give. There's a story in the Bible of a woman, and she's looking a little bit disheveled, and she's got torn clothes, and she's there at the temple, which is sort of the church of the day, and they're giving their offering. So there's sort of a bowl in the middle, and there's some rich people, and they put in bags of gold coins. That's how I'm imagining it. And they go, oh, pat on the back, look at me, I'm giving all this stuff. And then this woman sort of limps up, and she comes to the bowl, and she drops in two small coins. And you can see some of the rich guys around there, they're laughing. Look at that compared to me. I've given this bag of stuff. And look at her. She's only put in two little coins. But then Jesus is actually in that crowd right there. And he turns to his disciples and he says to them, how far greater is what that she has given than anyone else? And it's because she gave all that she had. She chose to give generously, to focus on God instead of herself. And in that, she gave everything she had. She actually chose to trust in God, that he would provide everything that she needed. She actually got to show her faith in action. And I believe that I've been talking a lot about money and stuff and the things that we share, that that's not what we're completely, that doesn't encompass everything. But we're actually told to be generous with our time and our skills as well. You actually have such a great example in this room right now. You have your excess leaders sitting with you right now. They are such a great example. They give up every Friday night of the school term to hang out with you guys, giving up 4 to 5 hours on a Friday night and often preparation towards Friday nights. They come along to Easter camp. They pay to come along, same as what you guys do. And they've even so far, they've paid extra. They've donated over $600 just to make sure that if there's any of you here that can't afford to come to camp, they want to make sure that you guys can come. And they actually have a lot of fun here on a Friday night with you guys. But that's not the sole reason that they are here. That's not the main reason that they are here on a Friday night. Each and every one of them has a personal relationship with Jesus. They have experienced God's love for themselves. They've had their lives transformed, and they want to see that in each and every one of you. They want to love you, and they want you to experience God's love for yourself. If you see one of them tonight, well, you will see them because they're right there, but tap them on the shoulder, encourage them. And I want to challenge you that you guys can also be generous with your time and your skills. Some of you are blessed with the ability to cook, the ability to talk. Like, you can talk to people, be generous in that. You can encourage, you can do so many different things. And I want to finish just with this last slide. You've been great listening. And I want to sum it up that generosity gives. It gives joy to you and others. It gives freedom from greed and worry. It gives focus on what's important. And lastly, summing this up, generosity gives life. It's a great acronym there, JIFL. You'll remember that, won't you? JIFL. But I think this so encompasses this idea of generosity. And it's highlighted in, I've never actually read this verse and actually stopped on it, but I've been reading it over and over again this week, and it's just been bouncing off the page. It's just, yeah, it's just filling me with passion. It's from 1 Timothy 6:18 to 19. I'm going to put it on the screen now. And it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life and life that is truly life. Repeat that after me. So that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Yeah, it's all good. I stuffed that up. That's my bad. I'll take that. But being generous is actually how God has created us to be. Being a part of living life and life to the full is actually to be generous in our lives. And that is who God has actually created each and every one of us to be. And if we're selfish and always focused on ourselves instead of others, we're actually robbing ourselves of part of what life is and life to the full. But know that generosity actually takes a bit of practice. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's something that I struggle with personally still. It's a practice to give willingly, more than it's expected, to sacrifice sometimes without holding back. but to trust that God will provide with everything that you need. And once we do this, it actually becomes ingrained. It becomes contagious. Everything that you do can be generous, and people around you can't help but feeling generous themselves because of your generosity. So I want to challenge you tonight. How can you show generosity in your life? Maybe it's around this idea of just sharing. You got that brother and you hate sharing with him, and you're always grudgingly sharing something with him. I want you to challenge you to have a spirit of generosity in your life. Maybe you've got a part-time job and you're thinking, you know what, I'd love to sponsor a sponsor child in Africa, maybe Compassion or World Vision. Or maybe that you could volunteer some of your time at kids' church or helping out someone. Or maybe it's just looking for someone in need and taking an opportunity. And I think the greatest thing that we can be generous with is if you know the love of God for yourself, to be generous with that. If you're going to be generous with anything, is to share the love that you have experienced yourself. And I'm actually so serious about this, and I'm so passionate around this idea of generosity. I'm going to give you something in a second. We're going to hand out, Ben, Josh, and Jazz are going to hand out an envelope, one for each and every one of you. I want to make sure that everyone here gets one tonight. Sound desk, Macca, everyone. And I don't want you to open this envelope. I want you to leave it shut. I want you to leave it sealed for tonight. That's for this week. But it's got a reminder on there that says of what we've been talking about tonight, that generosity gives joy. Generosity gives freedom. Generosity gives focus. And generosity gives life. And inside this envelope is actually $5 for each and every one of you. And I want you to think of right now, this is not for yourselves. This is not so that we have a bumper night at cafe, but this is for this week coming now, to think of how you can actually show generosity in your life. And it's not something that you've known that you're expecting to happen tonight, but I want you to think of in your mind of how that looks. It could be that you already know what it is now that you're going to share and be generous with. It might be that you partner with someone else and put that together to show generosity to someone or something. Or it might even be that you chip in something of your own. But I really want to challenge you tonight to not open this, to take this away, to pray about it now, to pray about it later, how you can show generosity. And I want to give you an opportunity right this week to actually practice it for yourself. And I believe that you will experience part of what life is, and life is to the full. You take hold of life that truly is life by being generous in your life. So I'm now going to close. And to close, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to pray, but I'm going to start with just a time of silence. And so I want you right now, not talking to someone else, just to shut your eyes, to Benno, and just to think in your mind of how you can use this to be generous to someone else. And it might be that God puts something on your mind. He might put something in your heart of someone or something. But I really want to challenge you around this idea of being generous in your life. So let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you're a generous God, that you've given so much to us. And yeah, we just get to an opportunity to be generous from what you've already so freely given to us. And I just pray for each and every one of us right now as we consider how we can show generosity to others. And I just pray that as XS, we are a generous community. We are looking to partner with you and to be generous in the way that we share your love with others. And I just pray for just a real feeling of your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.